This summer, your local movie theater transforms into a tent revival for sharing Jesus. Join believers nationwide for the Million Souls campaign, inviting unsaved loved ones to experience The Firing Squad, a new evangelistic movie starring Kevin Sorbo and Cuba Gooding Jr. Witness the true story that made worldwide headlines. American prisoners discovering faith in Christ while awaiting execution for their crimes in a third world country, transforming their lives and the entire prison in the process. After the movie and before the credits roll, Kevin Sorbo will come on the screen to lead the entire theater in a prayer to commit one's life to Jesus Christ. Visit FiringSquadFilm.com and learn how to get free tickets and more for your unsaved loved ones and become part of this unique event. Bring friends, family, and your faith. Learn more at FiringSquadFilm.com. That's FiringSquadFilm.com.
So, Stu announces, last 25 seconds of the show, hey, I've been holding back on you. I've got a great headline. something about
RFK's
health?
RFK Jr., colon.
He's got a problem with his colon.
No, that's the punctuation.
Oh, okay, colon, okay. I was going to say, it's going to get bad.
I also look at, technically, it's RFK Jr., period, yeah. Colon, so he's had a lot of problems. So there's right. A lot going on internally. No. RFK Jr., colon, worm ate part of brain, comma, now dead.
Now, is that in quotes?
It is not in quotes.
So he didn't say, who said that?
RFK Jr. really did tell a major media publication that a worm ate part of his brain and they found the worm in his head dead. That's a thing. They found.
What is it with the Kennedys and things going through their brains?
I mean,
Oh my gosh, I can hear through the soundproof wall.
People
the groans
going,
on that one.
Too soon.
Oh, really?
It was the 60s.
1963. Too soon? My God. All right.
You should have done that to him when you were interviewing him. Give him that pitch.
You know what went through my brain at that time? Well, they shouldn't bring that up, your uncle. anyway.
Oh,
this is so
people.
This is why it's just for the podcast, not for the real show.
Yeah, probably a good thing at this point.
Here it comes. First, here's something. If you're worried about your money, you're worried about your retirement, you're worried that maybe things are not going so well and you need to shore yourself up, please call Lear Capital. When you see what Elon Musk said this weekend, that it is only a matter of time before the dollar is worthless. We have to make changes now. Do you believe they will? I don't. That's why I highly recommend gold or silver as part of whatever it is you have. Now, gold is getting more and more expensive every single day. Silver, however, is still kind of affordable. Silver, you could still get. What is the price of silver now, Stu? Do you know? Last I looked, it was like $28 or $20 an ounce. And you can get that. And that is something that will hold its value. And you'll be able to actually buy stuff with it. It won't go down in value. At least it won't be. Nothing will go to zero that you have. Dollar will go to zero eventually.
It's about $28 now.
$28. you can buy an ounce of silver. You can do that once a week or once a month, whatever you need to do. But please call Lear Capital. Get your free wealth protection guide, and Lear will also credit your account $250 towards your purchase. I'm not just talking about your IRA or, you know, all your savings. I'm talking about a portion of whatever it is you have. Because everybody's going to be in the same place. Call 800-957-GOLD. Find out if it's right for you now. 800-957-GOLD. It's Lear Capital. 800-957-GOLD.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I think there's a few things that should concern every single American. Take Donald Trump, take Joe Biden out. Let's just look at the system. whoever you're for, would you be cool with this being done by the President of the United States to anyone?
Okay.
Last August 2022, Department of Justice released stunning photograph depicting alleged contraband seized from Donald Trump's Palm Beach estate that day. It showed colored sheets representing scary classifications and their classified levels attached to files discovered in Trump's private office. Right? You remember that?
I do remember. It was a big story, Glenn.
Big? Was it?
Yeah. I remember the pictures. They were everywhere.
Huh. Okay. So, one ex-CIA officer told ABC News the cover sheets indicated the highest levels of secrecy, and in the wrong hands, they could have resulted in murder.
I remember this. The case was Donald Trump so egregious in mm-hmm. this particular mm-hmm. matter. He didn't mm-hmm. care about the security of the nation. He didn't care about our nuclear secrets. He just took a bunch of stuff labeled top secret and brought it to his house and put it in his shower.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was terrible. Why would he do such a thing?
13 boxes or containers contained documents with classification markers, and in all, over 100 unique documents with classification markings were seized. Okay. Certain of the documents had colored cover sheets indicating their classification status. Okay. The DOJ's clever wordsmithing, however, did not accurately describe the origin of the cover sheets. In what must be considered not only an act of doctoring evidence, but willfully misleading the American people into believing the former president is a criminal and a threat to national security, agents involved in the raid attached the cover sheets to at least 7 files to stage that photo. Here's what they did.
It's incredible.
Classified cover sheets were not recovered in the container, contrary to what the FBI originally said. In fact, after being busted recently by defense attorneys for mishandling evidence in the case, Brad had to fess up about how the cover sheets actually ended up on the documents. The new version of the story, where he admits kind of a critical detail that he failed to disclose. If the investigation team found a document with classification markings, it removed the document, segregated it, and replaced it with a placeholder sheet. The investigative team used classified cover sheets for that purpose. But before the official cover sheets were used as a placeholder, agents apparently used them as props. FBI agents took it upon themselves to paperclip the sheets to the documents, something evident given the uniform nature of how each cover sheet is clipped to a file in the photo. They laid them out on the floor and then snapped a picture of it. This is never done.
you don't think?
No. This is never done. Now, the federal judge that is looking at this case, which is now in court, they have postponed the document trial because they've said there are too many things here that don't add up. There are too many things the FBI did that they never did, nor should they have ever thought of doing. So there's too many irregularities, whether this thing even goes through or not. But here's the point. If I said to a Democrat, how would you feel if Donald Trump, when he was in office, wanted to get Joe Biden so badly that he went into the House and he had the FBI arrange a photo session and change documents and made them look much scarier than they were, basically planting evidence that was not there? They came in with that evidence. Would you be okay with that?
Planting evidence?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that what they did?
I mean, certainly to manipulate public opinion.
Yet they walked in with the things they photographed that said were in Donald Trump's home. They were not marked that way. They did not have those covers.
That's incredible. I mean, I definitely thought, my impression when seeing that photo,
that's what they pulled out.
was that that's what they pulled out. And so it was basically, it made it more egregious for Trump. He saw that it said top secret all over it and still took it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when you, if you don't know anything about this, you look at that and you say, well, he should have known. I mean, it says top secret all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't say top secret all over the place. It just, they added that later for these photos is what we're learning.
Yes.
That's incredible.
That is at best propaganda. At best, propaganda. Would you be happy as a Democrat if Donald Trump was engaged in that sort of, at best, propaganda to sway people his way? You would say no. I would say no. I say no now. Why aren't you saying no? Here's the next one. Do you remember the name Robert Malley? Robert Malley was the subject of some controversy and some scrutiny last year because he is our envoy to Iran. And all of a sudden, we were going to Iran, and then all of a sudden, the envoy was like, he can't go. Why? Well, he's taking some time off. Why? Well, he just is. Why? Well, we're not sure. What do you mean you're not sure? Well, we can't tell you. What the hell was going on with that? Well, we just found out. Now, this on the heels of what I just talked to you about with Donald Trump. He was, he lost his top secret classification. And when they finally came out with that, why? Well, he just did. Why? He just did. Specifically now, and this did not come from the Biden administration, this has come from whistleblowers, we believe, he was suspended because he allegedly transferred classified documents to his personal email account, downloaded the documents to his personal cell phone, and somebody received them, but we don't know who yet. It's unclear whom he intended to provide these documents, but it is believed that a hostile cyber actor was able to gain access to his email and his phone and obtain downloaded information. These were top secret. These allegations have a substantial impact on our national security, and people should be held accountable swiftly and strongly. But we're not doing anything about him. We just downgraded his security clearance, and he was suspended for a while. Are you kidding me? This guy is a spy for the Iranians. You're trying Donald Trump, and you are using propaganda techniques to make it, to hype it up. And this guy, you won't even tell the American people what he did? How he did it, we have to find out through whistleblowers, and nothing is happening to him?
Honest question to anyone who might, you know, have passion against Donald Trump. Which one are you more concerned about? Someone who's doing this with Iran, or classified documents being in the private home of the former president of the United States?
They'd say Donald Trump.
How?
I know.
I mean, you have to be insane
Correct.
To say that.
Correct. And we keep letting these people go. We keep letting them go. Try this on for size. The Republican governors of Texas and Florida have penned letters condemning a proposal that would effectively allow the Democratic administration or any president to wrest control of the National Guard units away from their states without governor's permission. This is the U.S. Air Force legislative proposal 480. It's not just Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott against this. 48 governors are against this. Joe Biden wants it. Why? The National Guard cannot be called away from their home state without the permission of the governor. Now, let's just say you are on the left and you have always argued a well-regulated militia, that means the National Guard. Okay. Then that makes this even stronger. If that's the well-regulated militia for each state, the federal government cannot take it from the governors or the state because it is their last defense. And what states do you think he'd take those from? I'm guessing Texas and Florida. And they'd be off fighting some war in God knows where. And Texas and Florida wouldn't have access to their home state defense. Do you want, Democrats, do you want a Donald Trump to have the power to take your National Guard away from you on his whim? Of course you answer no. And I answer no as well. Why am I saying no now? Would say no under Trump, but you don't seem to care when it's Biden. Who's really protecting democracy and the republic? Here's another one. Biden administration hid the pause in arms sales to Israel from Congress. Wait. The Javelin missiles going to Ukraine. Donald Trump was paused those, they say, only for his personal or political enrichment. He was going to be able to get dirt on Joe Biden, and that can't ever happen. Okay, well, we all know there's corruption over there, but why worry about that then or now? We'll just keep sending hundreds of billions of dollars over to Ukraine. This time, when the American people are for the arms sales, when Congress passed the sales, President Biden secretly stops the arms sales to Israel, even though it was passed by Congress, approved by the people as much as you can possibly approve anything anymore. Why isn't he? Oh, well, because he really believes this. Oh, and Trump didn't? You can read the hearts of men. Hmm. And you don't think this has anything to do with the election? You don't think that Mr. Flip-flop on Israel, I love him, I hate him, I love him, I hate him, I love him, I hate him. Hey, what are the Muslims saying in Dearborn, Michigan? Yeah, that's right, I remember now, I hate him. That's not a political move? Why am I against somebody doing political moves, unless it is because it is not in the national interest? If it is in the national interest, we should have a conversation about it. Wait, the president did something. Why did he do it? Can he do that? This one, pure political. That's it. We know it. But you don't have a problem with it this time. I want to talk to you about the Jace case, Jace Medical. Jace Medical has come up with a personalized emergency kit that contains 5 essential antibiotics. Do you know that out of the, I think it's 18 antibiotics, we're short, I think 12 of them? There's massive shortages going on, but you don't really hear about it because it hasn't become critical level yet. You can still switch to others. But most of our medications and almost all of the ingredients come from places like China. If there's a disruption, we're in trouble. We don't make important things here anymore. Jace Medical would like to fill that gap. Make sure you start with a personalized emergency kit, the Jace case, 5 essential antibiotics that you can have at your house. They also add new medications all the time, so you can eventually have anything that your family takes, unless it's a controlled substance, anything that your family takes, they can ship it to you, so you can have a year's worth at your home. Jace Medical, JASEmedical.com, JaceMedical.com. Use the promo code Beck. Now back to the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Mary Margaret Olohan is, no, how do you say it? Olohan. Sorry, Mary Margaret. Mary Margaret Olohan is with us. She is from the Daily Signal, and she is the author of D-Trans. Welcome to the program. I'm not drunk, I swear to you, Mary.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. It's so great to be here.
So why don't we hear about all of the transitioners and their happy endings?
We don't hear about them because the ones that go through transition or this attempted transition, right, because we know it doesn't actually work, many of them are incredibly sad and suffering mentally and physically, but they can't really go back to the doctors that did this to them and say, hey, I regretted this, because it's a little bit like going back to an abuser and saying, hey, I didn't really like that you abused me, so can you do something about this or can we talk about this? That's just not a normal situation. And so what we're finding is you don't even have good statistics on how many people are detransitioning because it's so unlikely that they head back to their doctors and tell them that they're doing it. So for many of these people, they're kind of just like fading into the background of our culture. These people who have been really traumatically treated and told that all of these things would make them happy and would improve their lives. And it was a complete lie.
Tell me about some of the parents. Tell me about the mom in the last chapter of your book, Abby Martinez.
Yeah, this story is incredibly sad. And I should say that the rest of the book is about the stories of detransitioners. So people who tried to transition and then realized this is impossible. And now they're living happier lives that are focused on, life after detransition and spreading word about what the realities are. But the last chapter of my book is about Abby Martinez and her daughter, Yaley, because I think it's important that people understand what the alternative is to that happier ending. Abby is the mother of a young girl, Yaley, who at the age of 19 knelt on the train tracks, put her arms above her head, and watched as the train hurtled towards her and smashed her body to bits. There were so many pieces of her everywhere that they could barely identify her when they asked her mom to come and make sure it was her. Just absolutely horrific. Yaley, this daughter, when she was in high school, she made friends with a girl at school who identified as a boy. And the school and that girl encouraged Yaley to explore a different gender identity. The school started socially transitioning her, calling her by a boy name, Andrew, using male pronouns for her. And they weren't telling her mother any of this. So when Abby, who I spoke with for my book, Abby figured out what was going on and understandably was not on board with it. The school ultimately worked with the state, and the state ultimately took Yaley away from her family and ultimately put her on hormones and was facilitating her gender transition when she committed suicide. And I spoke with Abby about this at length. You know, she was very emotional with me on the phone. It made me very emotional just to hear the suffering that this mother has gone through. And she even told me that in the aftermath of Yaley's death, these LGBTQ advocates have fundraised off her death to say, look what happened to this poor trans boy. You should give us money to help trans youth to not commit suicide. So just imagine that from the mother's perspective too, that they're weaponizing her daughter's death as an example of why you should be facilitating children's gender transitions. So it's an incredibly sad story, but Abby wants people to know, here's my story, here's my experience, this is how the state took my daughter from me. Be warned, like, this is happening, and it's not casual, it's not just something that our society is growing into, or, you know, it's not normal. This can happen. And for all those people who are shouting about how trans youth are at risk, they are at risk because you're putting them on hormones and putting them through really traumatic surgeries that are going to impact them for the rest of their lives.
I feel so bad for the parents because this is a whole new world for people. And, you know, if you trust your doctors and all of the doctors are saying the same thing, you know, you don't know what to do. And then you have the pressure of the state taking your child away and you're like, well, that's worse. I don't know. When the kids who want to detransition, I mean, they've destroyed their bodies. Not them, but the surgeons have destroyed their bodies. They're most likely not going to have children. They probably are not going to have any kind of relations with another individual because, you know, it's different, to say the least.
Yes, their bodies are very permanently impacted in many ways. For example, and thank God we have these lawsuits that have been coming out, the detransitioners suing their medical providers, that really give a good glimpse into exactly who did this to them and what the effects are. Chloe Cole, for example, is one of the most famous detransitioners, and Chloe's lawsuit describes how she has these weird aches and pains in her back now because her bone density changed. And, you know, as a girl, her body wasn't prepared for the testosterone to change her bone density and her muscle structure. And, you know, all these young people are worried that have been on hormones that is affecting their fertility, their ability to experience sexual pleasure, just so many different aspects of how it's affecting their lives going forward. And I do think it's important, like you were saying, to point to the parents in all of this. I think they get a lot of modern parents are really in a tight spot with the social acceptance of smartphones and iPhones and the push of activism on their kids. But your average secular family that's not really practicing a religion and is just kind of going with the flow, when you encounter gender ideology, it's taught to you as a kind of religion. You know, you're taught that it's a good thing. You're taught that you're loving and affirming. And so when your child is saying, I want to get a double mastectomy, and you're thinking, my gut's telling me that's insane and my child's breast should not be removed, but the doctors are saying, would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son? That's a crossroads. And that's very scary. And most parents love their kids. And so when they're presented with these huge dilemmas, I don't blame them for being confused. And the ones who go with their gut, thank God, but the ones who don't, they have to suffer and they have to live with those consequences and watch their kids grow and experience intense suffering, both mentally and physically.
Do we have any idea, any stats on how many regret this move after?
We have some. Lisa Littman is a researcher who has done some amazing work on this. She found that only 24% of the group of detransitioners who have decided that they detransitioned or, you know, ended this transition process, only 24% of them actually went back to their doctors and said, I regretted this and I'm all done. So that's a very, very low number of people who are going back to their doctors. So official statistics aren't really going to reflect the numbers right, properly, because they're only reflecting the people who come back.
This would be an important thing that researchers would want to know. In any other case, you would be going back and following up with those patients across the board. No matter whose doctor it was, you would go across the board to everybody who has had that procedure done, no matter what it was, and ask them a year later and 5 years later, this is something brand new. Why is no one interested in finding this out?
Yeah, exactly. And Glenn, that's something that I think about all the time. There are no doctors who are willing to help the detransitioners with their medical complications as they're detransitioning. And just from a purely like attention-seeking mercenary standpoint, why isn't anyone willing to kind of stick their neck out here? Like, you would think that there should be doctors who are brave enough to say, I want to be the one that's the expert in this field. I want to be the doctor that helps detransitioners. Even if you're doing it from an attention-seeking standpoint, seems like there's a really easy gap to fill here. But where are our medical professionals who genuinely care about these kids? And not just kids, adults, too.
They're trapped by
the
fear.
Medical professionals, yeah, who could look at this situation and say, well, we've been replacing science with gender ideology, and people are suffering the consequences of it. We need medical professionals who are willing to stand up and say, I can help you after you've been treated so badly by our medical system. But it just seems like there really isn't anyone doing that right now.
Well, they're going to lose their license. If they do that, they'll lose their license.
Right. And I think that's something very scary that I encountered as I was interviewing these detransitioners. One girl, Helena, told me when she got testosterone, she got it from Planned Parenthood, of course, very easy process. She got it the same afternoon she went in and filled out the form.
Wow.
She started taking it. Yeah.
I can't even get, I'm a guy and I can't even get it on the same day I'd walk into a doctor's office.
Maybe you should try Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, maybe.
And so she gets on, starts taking testosterone. It's really impacting her mentally and physically. And it gets to the point where it's compounding her mental health problems. And she can't handle it. She's suffering so much. And so she checks herself into a hospital in Chicago, asking them, help me, I am falling apart. And these doctors at the hospital, instead of saying, okay, like, let's look at her biology. She's a girl. She's taking this. It's probably hurting her. They asked her what her gender was. She tells them she's a guy. And so in all her medical forms, they call her a guy and they treat her as a guy. And then they medically pretend she's a guy who's coming in with no other medicine in her that needs help for mental health issues. So they completely ignored the fact that she actually was taking testosterone and that was the source of her troubles, and pretended she was just a guy that needed help with mental health issues. So that just blew my mind, because it's a very simple, you know, beginning trajectory transition incident, but she couldn't even get basic care from the hospital in this one situation. And so obviously her mental health struggles compounded because now they got her on all this medication. And she ultimately decided to get off testosterone because it was hurting her so much. And she figured out what the doctors apparently couldn't, that it was a source of many of her problems. But just that story, I think, is a really good example of how our medical professionals are just completely caving on this gender ideology, and how little the interest they seem to have in facts and science anymore. And it does make you wonder, Glenn, whether this is complete cowardice or whether we're just filling our medical industry with less and less intelligent people.
We're repeating the mistakes we made in the 1930s with progressives and people, doctors who just think that they're God. Mary Margaret, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. That's Mary Margaret Olihan, and she is the author of D-Trans. We're going to be doing a special on this tonight. I want you to watch it at 9. It's so important for every parent, because nobody is giving you this information, and we're gonna show you the real results of this. It is terrifying. You will watch tonight and go, how is that doctor not in jail? Tonight, 9 o'clock, only on Blaze TV.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Michael Schellenberger, author of San Francisco and the founder of Public on Substack, and somebody who will be remembered in history as somebody who was a friend of freedom and the Republic. Michael Schellenberger, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Glenn.
You bet. Thank you so much for taking some time. You are the guy who first dumped this out to the world, and it seems like the media just yawned at it. Tell me what WPATH is and why it's so critical people understand it.
Sure. So WPATH is an acronym that stands for World Professional Association for Transgender Health, and it is important because it's the organization that all of the big medical organizations, including the American Medical Association, the AMA, the American Psychiatric Association, the APA, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Endocrine Society, all of these guys rely on this group to decide how to treat kids that think they're the opposite sex or have what's called gender identity disorder or gender dysphoria, confusion about their sex. And what we were given a set of the internal discussion files by this organization, and it's shocking. And we probably spent about 8 months really writing a very serious report. I think it's about 140 pages entirely of both internal documents. About 70 pages of those are the internal files from this group. And then we have a report that explains all of it, because you're dealing with, you know, supposedly medical issues. But look, what can I say? This is the one of the biggest medical scandals in human history. That's a strong claim, but I think anybody who reads them will agree that this is the case. We're talking about stopping the normal development of children through puberty, which means these children end up sterilized in many cases. They end up not able to have full sexual function, which is obviously a very important thing and very important to people being happy and living full romantic lives. And then what we discovered is that these are things, you know, occurring with kids as young as 10 years old. There's kids that are 13-year-olds with developmental disorders. We see homeless people with schizophrenia discussed as getting genital surgery. It's just shocking to say. We see that neither the children nor the parents understand what's going to happen to them, meaning they do not understand that they are likely to be sterilized and to lose sexual function. They have no conception of it. And so, you know, everybody's heard of do no harm. That's the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
People need to know that there's another part of that, which is called informed consent. That's a technical phrase, informed consent, but that's the law. You're not allowed to experiment on people who do not understand what you're doing to them. And yet that is precisely what is happening in the United States of America right now, thanks to the complicity. And you've never heard of WPATH, but you've heard of AMA, you've heard of the American Academy of Pediatrics, you've heard of the American Psychiatrists. These organizations have blood on their hands. And they're going to be held accountable. There are lawsuits. But these things are ongoing, Glenn, and it's truly a national scandal. It's something that really that should shock the conscience of our country.
This, Michael, I look at this and I think this is the Tuskegee experiments. This is the horrible progressive sterilization eugenics program. This is every horrible medical thing our country has ever done, and then we're shamed by it and we don't talk about it. It's happening right now. Would you agree with that?
100%. It's completely shocking. And yes, it's definitely up there with the history of sterilizing poor people, racial minorities. It's up there with the Tuskegee experiments on Black Americans. It's up there with the opioid crisis, you know, except for in some ways it's worse, but I think in some ways it's worse than all of those, which has led mm-hmm. some people to say that it is the worst medical scandal in human history. You know, the United States, the news media should be ashamed of themselves. They are, if I were to kind of say who's to blame, you'd say doctors, the news media, the mainstream news media, Hollywood for promoting this. But I would say, you know, this is the thing that should give people hope that things are changing in Europe. And so we actually did have the British media, the Times of London, the Telegraph of London, the Daily Mail, the Guardian. The Guardian published its sister newspaper, The Observer, but they're both very left-wing magazines. Yeah. And The Economist, which everybody knows of. So, you know, they all have now written about this, but they've put American media to shame. And so truly this has to stop. Children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults should not, puberty has to be viewed as a human right.
Yes.
It's shocking that it must be said, but puberty is a human right. You must not deprive that of any child.
Michael, there's a couple of things that I can't figure out. First of all, why, you know, you'll have a hard time getting your insurance company to cover something that you're like, my child needs this medication, and they won't do it. Yet with this, the medical insurance companies, everybody is just, oh, go, not a problem. Green light immediately. They don't ask for anything, and they'll green light it. The second thing is, why are we ignoring this? Why in America are we just staying the course?
I think it's these institutions. They've betrayed their mission and their purpose. These medical associations, their mission is the Hippocratic Oath, to do no harm and to get informed consent as part of that. So they betrayed their mission. The news media have betrayed their mission. They're now spreading propaganda and ignorance. So when you talk, when I talk to my very progressive family and friends, they don't believe this is happening. They literally, when I tell them, they deny that. They suggest that I'm making it up. I mean, they did, I should say. Now that report's out, I think people are having a second look. So what you've seen, what we are in the midst of a, you know, this is the name of my next book, Glenn, Pathocracy. We are dealing with pathocratic institutions, meaning sick institutions, run by, in many cases, deranged people, cowards, psychopaths, and narcissists. You know, wow. So that's what they've taken over, the critical institutions of society. That's the only way that you could get these grotesque medical mistreatment and experimentation on children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults. It's the only way it could have occurred.
Michael, thank you so much for everything that you do. I know that, you know, you're busy writing and doing reporting every day, and you're spending a lot of time up at Capitol Hill. Do you see any chance in Washington of anything changing?
Definitely not in Washington. I mean, I think that there's change is coming. I think that's clear from the polling data, and not just in the United States, but around the world. You know, the governments of the world right now are really cracking down on free speech. I'm under criminal investigation in Europe. I'm sorry, in Brazil, for publishing entirely legal and accurate things. The European governments are the European politicians are weaponizing their intelligence agencies to spread disinformation about their political enemies. So I would say that we're in a very dangerous moment, because we're in between two different, I think,
systems or
governments. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing the discredited regime start to weaponize the government, and we've seen them weaponizing the government institutions in order to maintain political power and persecute its enemies, including imprisoning them in places like Brazil, including seeking to shut down and censor the entire global internet from Australia and New Zealand and other, frankly, irrelevant countries at a global level. And the United States, you know, it's the U.S. intelligence community that controls the Australian intelligence community, not the other way around. So the continued weaponization of our intelligence community, I mean, there needs to be a significant change from the top of every nation to get control. And this, I say this as a lifelong liberal and as somebody that just from the straight, if you want a liberal democracy rather than a totalitarian system, we have got to get control of our intelligence and security agencies, which are abusing their powers in ways that we haven't seen since the spying on Martin Luther King, you know, since the rogue assassination efforts, we're at a level of totalitarian, you know, we're on the cusp of a totalitarian system when it comes to free speech. So I think we're in a very dangerous moment, and hopefully there will be some political correction.
I will tell you, as a lifelong conservative, I couldn't be behind you anymore. You know, real liberals, while we may disagree on tax policies or whatever, we should be agreeing on the Bill of Rights. And those things are almost completely gone. And if we lose that, we're not a safe country anymore. Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it.